You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 4, Episode 12, Chris Angel is a Douchebag, which also happens to be the title of this episode, wherein an old-time magician has reinvigorated his act while other magicians are mysteriously dying around him.
Digicast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, in my living room in Elk River, Minnesota with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hey. Missy, stop that.
Hey, Missy, stop that.
Hey, Missy, stop that.
And we've also got our other newbie down in New Orleans, Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
Hello. And we've got our two experts. We've got in Texas, both, John Pavlich.
Greetings.
And Annie.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Has everybody had a magical week?
Yeah.
No.
Has anybody escaped from certain death?
No, but
probably.
I didn't go to prison. That's good.
I ate some fast food.
You ate some fast food?
Yeah.
Was it good?
You know, as so fast food goes.
Yeah. You know, the only fast food that's like really worth eating is like In-N-Out Burger. I'm just gonna say that.
And it ain't here.
And it ain't
no,
here.
No, that's real. Same.
That's really it. I mean, it's the only one worth eating.
Well, yeah,
In-N-Out Burger
really
is in
Popeyes.
Texas.
Mm-hmm. I love Popeyes because fried chicken is
oh,
my favorite.
Oh, you're right. You know, they have really good stuff too, but.
They're also nowhere near us.
No, wait, there is.
Well, there's a bunch of them in the Twin Cities, but none near here.
None near here. There's nothing.
You guys want to hear something really ironic?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like today, there's like some really crazy stuff going on at the New York primary with like voter registration and voter IDs and voter suppression and everything.
Yeah.
And today happens to be when I got my voter registration certificate in the mail.
Yay. All right.
Oh, wow.
I was like, really?
All right, well, all right. Shall we get started on this thing?
You will.
All right.
Yarp.
I've got the summary this week from SupernaturalWiki.com.
Yay.
It's Magic Woo-hoo. Week in Sioux City. Sioux City, Iowa. And I do want to say initially... Magic Week in Sioux City, Iowa is definitely not a thing, apparently.
Fictitious.
I searched Google for Magic Week Sioux City, Iowa, and got Chris Angel as a douchebag 6 times. Surprising.
You know, I've never watched any of his act.
No?
No. Have you?
I don't think so. I might have caught a piece of his special.
I've totally watched...
See the
like
guy that
Carrot Top.
See the guy that pretends to levitate on the sidewalk.
Probably.
Or is that a different?
No, that's Blaine.
Oh, that's David Blaine.
David Blaine. Chris Angel is basically like what the Jeb Daxter guy is. Like it's basically Chris Angel, except Chris Angel has like a New York accent. I've seen a couple episodes of Mind Freak. It's okay. Mm-hmm. He seems like an okay guy, I guess. But
sure.
Like. You know, if other people know something I don't, like, maybe he really is a douchebag.
Well, I read Holly Madison's autobiography.
Oh, okay.
And they dated for a while. Oh, okay. And she really served the dish on Chris Angel. And apparently he is a douchebag. He
all
was
right,
horrible
then.
To her.
Fair
and
enough.
And I love Holly Madison. So
there you go.
Who is she?
She was one of the girls next door. She dated Hugh Hefner.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah, she's the prettiest of all the girls next door.
They all look the same to me, so I don't know.
They're very similar, but she was a little bit older than the other one.
I'm vaguely aware that the show existed.
Well, I guess she wasn't as old as Bridget Marquardt. But anyway, I loved the Girls Next Door when that was on. I don't know why. It was like this weird, like, you know how some things are just so surreal that you're like, I have to keep watching. Like it was like kind of train wreck style.
Yeah, I think they bank on that.
Mm-hmm. And so then I got really obsessed with like just the history of Playboy. And then I like read up on that. And then anyway, so then Holly Madison put out this autobiography last year and it's really good. Like she's brutal. Yeah. Anyway,
well, good
but yeah,
for her.
Angel, douchebag.
All right, then.
Good book.
It's confirmed.
Confirmed douchebag.
Chris Angel, douchebag. Magic Week, not in Sioux City.
All right, we're getting somewhere.
Okay, Magic Week in Sioux City. Jay, a magician. Magician. Jay, a magician.
What?
I don't know.
I just want to say Jay, a magician.
Today's summary will be read by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And Jay, a magician, sits in a bar amusing the waitress with card tricks. A younger magician. A younger magician, Patrick Vance, heckles him, calling him washed up. Later, Jay and his friends Charlie and Vernon. I guess we could talk about casting now, I suppose, on those guys anyway. So,
I would like to talk about Barry Bostwick, who I love.
Oh, yeah,
I was so excited to see him.
The best. Because you were a huge Spin City fan.
I did like Spin City, actually, but Rocky Horror
Picture
Show.
Don't you feel stupid?
So good. He was like so good on that show because he was like always so pompous and. But yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show. I feel like so I saw that for the first time when I was 12 years old at a slumber party, and I hit puberty. Like just seeing, you know, Barry Bostwick in that like corset and garter getup.
Yeah.
Perfection.
That's pretty good. Yeah, first time.
And I still love
it. First time I saw it, I was probably about 14 years old, and we piled inside some tiny old Japanese car, drove down Colfax Avenue to the Ogden Theater, which was the naughty theater. And
yes.
I went with a bunch of friends. It was good times.
Yeah, they did it at the Uptown in Minneapolis for years.
This conversation is.
I was probably. I don't know, like, probably 13 when I saw it. My parents exposed me to it, and then I actually got to go to a theater and do the whole experience, and you know, throw stuff at the screen.
Yeah, the Uptown was actually the Art House Theater in Minneapolis that did Rocky Horror.
Oh, Art House, ours was an art house too.
Art,
you call some
Emmanuel?
Art. Yeah.
Hey, that's art.
Something.
I was 17 and had to sneak out of the house and steal my mom's car to go meet my friend.
You win.
You win.
That was like the only time I ever did that, but I was bound and determined I had to see that movie.
I think. Did you and I go see it at some point somewhere?
In Toronto.
Is that where we saw it
next?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what no one should ever see.
I think we might have gone to the Uptown once when we were still dating.
You're thinking
dating
of
day.
Somebody else.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. It was possible.
No, it wasn't.
No one should ever have to see the Rocky Horror episode of Glee.
I think I've seen it.
Of what?
Of Glee.
It's
or no.
Glee.
Oh, I've never seen that show.
It's so disrespectful and like misses the point of Rocky Horror entirely and just, oh God, it's awful.
How can you even be disrespectful to something, though, that's, like, pure camp? Like, how do you disrespect that?
By, like, changing the lyrics and making them more PC-friendly and getting a large black woman to play Frankfurter instead of a man, because, like, that's the point.
I actually think that that kind of, I don't know if I can swear on this, but like gender effing is kind of cool.
I understand like the idea behind it and like the reason why you would want to do that, but like the way they do it and the reasons they do it in the episode are just like no.
So. Interesting.
Oh, Brad, I'm mad.
Rocky.
Yeah, so anyway, I was super, super excited to see Barry Bostwick.
Yeah, he's my favorite thing about this episode.
He's the best thing about this episode. He gives it all he can.
And then his buddies, Vernon is a character actor who you've probably seen somewhere. I recognized him from Fletch. He was Fletch's editor in Fletch. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrible sequel.
Okay.
He was really familiar. I couldn't tell where I knew him from.
But then his other friend, Charlie, is played. I just wrote the post last night. What's his name?
I don't remember the character's name, but he was on Angel.
Yes.
Wasn't it Leslie?
No, it's
Leslie.
I'm checking your.
Yeah, my post. What was my post?
Was it to me or was it to everybody?
Morrow is his last name. Linwood Morrow. Okay. Linwood Morrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's got to be. It's got to be an L and an M. We know that much. If you work for Wolfram and Hart, in the first few seasons, anyway, it's got to be LM.
That's true.
Wait, was Charlie the one who you meet when he's younger, or that's the other guy?
No, that's Charlie.
Yeah, that is Charlie.
Okay.
And the
he's got the thing on his forehead.
And the interesting.
So young Charlie, I recognized immediately, but old Charlie, I didn't recognize.
I didn't know young Charlie, but apparently they are father and son for real.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yay!
Young Charlie was on 6 Feet Under, and he was the guy that carjacks the one character. I can't think of... Anyway, he carjacks him, and like it's like that harrowing episode. But anyway.
I must have missed that one. That's not what I know him from. I can't remember what I know him from, but yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
So later, Jay and his friends, Charlie and Vernon, sit in a theater watching another flashy young magician called Jeb Dexter go through his paces. They bemoan the day that their day is past, and Jay is increasingly depressed. He announces that he intends to undertake the Table of Death trick that night. What he doesn't share is that he intends to die during the trick. That night on stage, as Jay lies bound under a rack of steel spikes about to descend, his death seems certain. The spikes fall, but the curtain is parted to reveal Jay alive and well. Meanwhile, as he's leaving the bar, Patrick Vance falls to the ground dead, blood oozing from a dozen puncture wounds.
That was cool.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
To die?
Like that.
Okay.
That is cool.
If you're gonna die, that's the way to go. Right?
From mysterious puncture wounds?
Sure.
Okay.
It looked like it was quick, too.
Yeah, definitely quick. As though a table of spikes has fallen on him.
Yeah, I'm telling you, quick is the way to go.
All right, then.
All right.
Sam and Dean arrive to investigate for some reason.
Yeah, it wasn't really clear why they would be there.
Yeah, it wasn't clear exactly to me why they would be there. There was I guess his puncture wounds happened not through his shirt, but actually, behind his shirt.
Which was cool.
Yeah, he basically just inherited the.
Well, yes, we know
the fatal wounds.
We know this, but in terms of why Sam and Dean would arrive to investigate, that's about the only weird detail of the whole thing.
Well, and the fact that he was punched.
Well, also given where it happened.
Yeah, in the middle of like the street. I wasn't paying attention, so I was like, is that the strip? This doesn't look like the strip. That really sucks. That's not the strip.
The Sioux City strip.
Well, like I said, I wasn't paying attention, so that's my fault. But
yeah, as they did the establishing shot at the beginning, there was a banner that said Magicians Association.
Said Iowa City.
Or Sioux City, Iowa.
But I'm just, if you're going to have a magician's thing, shouldn't you do that in...
No. Okay. All right, Sam reveals the knowledge of the world of magicians gained during a phase when he was 13.
Oh my god, I really, this episode already had been going against it for me, just because I think magicianship and magic is so lame.
Well, it's kind of corny, it's...
Yeah,
it's so corny. I don't understand when people have that weird affection for it when they're, like, grown-ups. Like, I get why little kids like it, but...
Sure.
I don't get it. I don't get the appeal.
I like the idea that corny 13-year-old Sam enjoyed magic acts and tried to do magic. That sounds about right.
Sounds about like you.
I didn't ever try to do an act. I had like
here's my
kit and things.
Of course. My thing is that like okay yeah the execution of it is often like lame and corny and cheesy, but I do have respect for the people that can actually pull it off and like know the tricks. You can do them really well, you know, the sleight of hand, misdirection, all of that stuff. So you know, like I look at it just like it's a sincere like fun thing, you know. It's like yeah, go watch somebody, you know, be really good at their job. Like
I just guess I feel like if I was paying to see like a show, I would rather see almost any other kind of show there is than that one. And whenever it's like translated on television, it's boring. Like whenever TV shows try to do a magic episode, mm-hmm. I never like it.
Well, it's like a, like I look at it the same way I look at like wrestling. Like, you know, yeah, I was into it when I was a kid. And like now I'm just like, yeah, I don't watch that stuff. Like it seems just like lame and stupid to me, but there are like tons of people who friggin' love it. But I do have respect for like the people who actually like get up there and do it, because like that's hard work and you can actually get really hurt. And so, you know, like I don't get it. It's not for me, but you know, mm-hmm. I would never take it away from somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking to his assistant, they find that Patrick Vance had a tarot card, the Ten of Swords, on him when he died. Dean questions Charlie and Vernon to no avail. They send Dean off to speak to someone called the Chief, they said once had crossed Patrick. Once arriving at the address, Dean finds that he's been had. The Chief is a gay leather dom.
Yeah, this was the hot part. Like that.
I thought that was funny.
It was fun.
I'm just sad we never found out Dean's safe word.
I know. He didn't let us know. But that's all right.
It's probably pie.
Pie.
And SupernaturalWiki.com notes that the address 426 Bleecker Street is the same address as the Blue Oyster Bar in the Police Academy movies.
Yay! That makes me happy.
Sam is doing research at the hotel when Ruby arrives. She accuses Sam of wasting time while the 66 seals are being broken. She tells him the angels are losing the battle. 34 of the seals have been broken. On the
She's right. I mean, they probably should get to work on that rather than like trying to handle this like dumb magician case.
She's like, damn it, Sam, what are you doing with these like one-off episodes?
Let's get back to the arc here, Sam.
We have
Come
a
on.
Season arc to solve.
Yeah, the episode I just released, I was asking John how many seals do we know what the seal count is. So here's an official count. I don't know if we're going to get a full-on countdown the rest of the way or if it's going to be a vague number somewhere in the 30s for a while or whatever.
Well, what I'm trying to remember is, did she say, what was it, 34?
Yep.
Now, does that mean 34 total have been broken so far or... 34 more than what has been broken.
I think she means 34 have been broken.
Okay.
I believe. Right. That's over half, she says.
Yes.
Sam says that he doesn't know where the seals are or how to stop them from being broken. Ruby counters that he needs to go after the source of the problem, Lilith. Sam refuses and Ruby leaves.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with her on this one. I didn't think I would be on board with what Ruby was saying, but she's right.
Well, she's also insisting that he do whatever not-so-kosher thing that it is that he has to do to charge up his powers.
Yeah, just do it. Come on. Let's go.
We don't know what it is yet, and I'm assuming that's coming up shortly with him going off at the end of the episode and all.
Oh, I can't wait.
That night, Jay attempts another death-defying act, the executioner, which involves escaping from a straitjacket before being hung by a noose. As Jay struggles to escape, we see a noose of rope come to life and hang Jeb Dexter from the ceiling fan in his hotel room. Just as the noose tightens on stage, Jay is freed.
You know, as that was going on, I was hearing the do-do-do-do-do-do, like this charming a cobra. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was what was going through my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Scooby-Doo was playing the oboe. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tune was composed by the guy who first brought Exotic Acts to the 1893 World's Fair.
Sweet. What's his name?
It's escaping me right now. It was in the Devil in the White City book.
That's it. You have to turn in your trivia card.
I know.
It's awesome that you know that.
Well, it's in the Devil in the White City book, which is an awesome, awesome book.
It is sitting in my Kindle, really ready for me to read it.
Read it, read it, read it. It is so awesome.
And it's just half is the creepy serial murderer, and half is the architecture and landscape architecture.
And you'll love that part for sure.
Yeah,
I will love. I'm sure I'm going to love the whole thing. I've heard really good things about it.
And it's finally coming out soon in the theaters too.
Oh,
I don't know if I can watch it.
Leo DiCaprio has bought it a long time ago, and I think it's finally getting released this year.
I don't think I can watch
it. Oh, no thanks. I'm not a fan of his.
I mean, the parts of the book...
Like, at all, or...?
No.
Especially since the bear thing, or what?
What'd he do to you?
I've just never been into anything that he's been in. Like, I've never seen him in anything and been like, wow, he was great.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, but yeah, I'm not too interested in seeing the movie because I know that they're going to focus exclusively. I mean, there'll be some nice set pieces and things, but it's going to be focusing exclusively on the hotel and the creepy part.
Right.
And the part that's interesting to me about the book is all of the history that's laid on with it, with all of the. I mean, they go into such detail about the construction, and the architects and the way that it's all laid out.
The
and
finance of it.
Yeah,
the
you
financing.
Would, you wouldn't. You would need a documentary for that, not a drama.
Of course.
It was really cool, though.
So, yeah, I don't know if I'm totally interested in the movie, but the book is great.
Yeah, all right. I think I'm going to skip the movie.
Okay. That's a tangent.
We love those.
Yay! Sam and Dean confer, postulating that Jay is using black magic to regain his old glory. Sam asks Dean if he thinks that they will grow old. But Dean says their life ends bloody or sad. Sam asks if Dean wouldn't want to do something if they could end the demon war. Dean is suspicious that Sam isn't telling him everything, but Sam denies it. Yeah, I guess that was all in there. That whole paragraph just confused the heck out of me, but I understand what they're saying, more or less. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you didn't just watch the episode.
It's like a really bad book report.
Yes. Back at the theater, they find out that Jeb Dexter is dead. He also had a tarot card on him. They confront Jay, but he has them arrested. Well, they leave out the best part, that they go and confront him in his room and tie him to a chair.
Yeah, that part was awesome. I was like, those ropes won't hold Scooby-Doo.
Well, they already look like they wouldn't hold anybody.
I know. It's like that. It's ridiculous.
I'll say it now because I don't really have the quotes in front of me anyway, but I won't have quotes later, but I guess we should have seen that one coming.
Yeah.
Jay admits to Charlie that he doesn't know how he is performing the feats and wonders if he should stop, but Charlie urges him on, saying how happy he is to see Jay on top again. That night, Jay performs the Table of Death again. He succeeds again, but backstage, Charlie is dead, punctured through the chest.
Oh, yeah.
Jay has the boys released from jail and asks for their help. They go to Vernon's room to search for clues. They find an old poster of a young Charlie as a magician called the Great Dizzertini. On stage, Jay confronts Vernon, who denies any knowledge of what is happening, but then a young man arrives. It's Charlie, and he is young again. Charlie reveals he once worked with P.T. Barnum, who gave him a powerful grimoire that contained a spell for immortality, the Enchanted Pack of Terror Cards. He offers eternal life to Vernon and Jay, although it means Sam and Dean will have to die. However, Jay pickpockets Charlie's deck of cards, leaving one with Charlie, and then stabs himself, killing Charlie. Afterwards, Sam and Dean meet Jay at the bar. He's depressed, his best friend is dead, and Vernon has left. Dean tells him he did the right thing, but Jay finds no comfort in that and leaves. Dean suggests to Sam they have a beer, but Sam wants to go for a walk. Outside, Ruby arrives, and Sam gets in the car with her. He says he's in. Ruby asks Sam why he changed his mind, and Sam says he doesn't want to be hunting monsters when he is an old man. End of summary.
I thought that Charlie guy was, at first, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was in, like, maybe the second season, and I probably shouldn't have even started this because I'm not going to remember it, but I thought it was some demon that we've already met before, but it wasn't.
Ah.
So there's that. Mm. And I don't know who it is, but yeah, I thought he was a demon. I thought it was somebody we were supposed to know, and I was totally wrong. And this whole episode was a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't know. The episode, I liked it okay when I watched it. When I read the summary, I was just like, ugh, this just doesn't. The summary definitely didn't do anything for me, but the episode was okay. Hey, who wins? Sam, Dean? They're kind of.
I'm gonna give it to Dean because he went to go see Chief.
Yeah, he had to deal with the Chief.
Yeah, so he wins.
He had an adventure.
Clearly, he wins.
Yeah, he got to hang out with the Leather Daddy, so he wins. We all know he won after we cut away.
Yeah.
He won multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, I'll go with Dean.
Yeah, I like that. Dean wins.
Yay, Dean. All right. And he doesn't have to, like, compromise his whatever by doing whatever it is Ruby wants Sam to do. So I guess there's that as well.
Yeah, do you think they're going to end up working together in the end, even though Sam's going about things the, quote, wrong way, and Castile has said that he can't be allowed to?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you think the boys are going to be against each other in the last few episodes? Or are they going to be against each other for the last few episodes and find a way to come together in the end and defeat the baddies? Or...
I think they're going to all work together.
Or another thing, maybe...
Ruby and Castile.
Or they're all going to work together... And they're still not going
to... My tongue is bleeding.
They're not going to win. What if they don't win?
All I'm worried about is how does Chief get paid? Because he didn't take the payment beforehand. That's all I'm worried about.
took it out of his ass.
I totally think you pay your dom after.
You pay your dom after, not before?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, I guess you're going to listen.
I don't know. I can't believe nobody here has gone to a dom before. Come on. I know I never have.
There's a rumor at work that that's what I am, so that's pretty funny.
Yeah, where did that come from?
You'd be making so much money.
Well,
you should get into it.
It's because I had corsets dry cleaned.
Yeah,
you
had corsets dry cleaned. Oh, dear. Corsets.
I know.
What
a sure sign of S&M.
Clearly, that's what I'm doing.
Only one type of person ever wears those.
Yeah, like all of the brides. Yeah.
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 All right, so we could quote. I already sort of gave one quote that I kind of had. I don't have any others.
Does anybody have quotes?
I do not.
I have a handful, actually.
Yeah, I do too. There's not very many good ones in this episode.
I saw the list of them that were on the Supernatural Wiki, and I was like, none of those inspire me enough to copy paste.
All right, I got one. I think there's been a misunderstanding here. I think I've been had. You ain't been had till you've been had by the Chief. Oh, before we get started, what's your safe word?
Okay, I'll go with when they're discussing, growing old as hunters. Sam says there's Bobby, and Dean says, "Oh yeah, that's a poster child for growing old gracefully."
Paul, you got anything?
No, I don't have anything. Like I said,
No, just y'all two.
All right. Well, then I have a couple more. The problem with the snake is it has 1,000 heads. Evil bitches just keep piling out of the Volkswagen.
Oh, that was a good one. Volkswagen.
And then I have one more. Not so fast. I ain't Gutenberg and this ain't Cocoon.
Wow, I missed that one.
No, I heard that one. I definitely heard that one.
It was when they were going after young Charlie.
Yep, they were busting into the theater to go after young Charlie. All right, shall we move on to feedback?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, on Facebook, Nutty said... This to me felt like an X-Files episode. It's not the best Supernatural episode, but it's a great X-Files episode. I did miss Scully. I love the meta jokes and thought Barry Bostwick was perfect, but it was a weak Supernatural episode, so I just think of it as an X-Files.
X-Files had that one magician episode.
Yeah.
I can barely remember it, but I feel like I liked it better than this one.
It was
one.
The one with Ricky Jay, who's an actual magician, famous magician, and... Mm-hmm. And he and his brother, and there was a death faking that happened?
The Amazing Malini.
Yes.
The Amazing. Oh, yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I think
that was like season...
Season seven. Seven.
Yeah.
So, but it was great. I loved it.
And then an email from Heidi. Heidi says,
Hey,
guys.
Yay.
Sam and Dean take on the magician, and they are not impressed. This monster really seems like something that wouldn't come across their radar. The best part of this episode is when Ruby shows up and tells Sam to go after Lilith. It's no wonder she thinks they are just wasting time. Ask Voldemort what the price tag is on immortality. Actually, young Charlie actually reminds me of Tom Riddle. This episode is really just depressing. Sam's reasoning about why he agrees to help Ruby is kind of dumb to me. He probably won't be doing this when he's an old man. What makes him think he'll make it to old age? Anyway, short feedback this week. Not much to say. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
And that's feedback. So now it's time to rate it. Ratings.
Oh, boy.
Ratings.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Darcy, you go first because you sound really excited.
Oh, gosh. You know, I paid absolutely not a whole lot of attention to this. It was on. I did it because it was my homework, but I didn't really finish it, and I didn't really turn it in. So I'm probably getting an F, but that's all right. It won't be the first F I ever got. I also felt it was just, again, you know, she said X-Files. I was like Scooby-Doo. I'm like, it totally didn't do anything for me.
I was wishing for a Scooby-Doo episode.
It would have been better, you know, if Scooby-Doo showed up, a little Shaggy and, you know, Velma. But it didn't happen, so it was pretty lame. So with that said, I'm going to give it, 4 Scooby snacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a neutral episode for me. It wasn't like extremely exciting. I enjoyed the casting, Barry Bostwick especially, and I thought it was put together well enough. But it, you know, in reading the summary and going back on it, I'm just like, well, it's not really a whole lot there. And I do agree that I don't see exactly. I mean, you know, mysteriously in the street, stabbed with no puncture wound through the shirt. It's definitely more of a something that Mulder would find than what the boys would find, in my opinion. But they're investigating. Also, it's in the middle of America. They're always in the Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas area, right? It seems like they're there an awful lot. So
it's the Midwest, yeah.
I liked it okay. It was pretty neutral for me, so I'll go ahead and give it a 6.5 out of 10. Floggers.
I think that was technically a cat of nine tails.
Was it a cat of nine tails? I thought it was a flogger.
Okay.
Listen to the dominatrix. She knows.
I guess.
Yeah, I like the episode fine. Really, what works for me is Barry Bostwick, because he's at the center of it. And he gives a really great performance, so that, you know, carries the episode for me. Any sort of issues I might have, or where, like, you know, if it doesn't feel particularly special, like, he's just on point the whole time. So I'm going to give this one 6 out of 10 douchebags.
Annie, do you want to go next?
Sure. I don't know what it is about this episode. I just have never really liked it very much. There's nothing really wrong with it. The casting is great. I think it's the best thing about the episode. but it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like iRobot Eugene. It's just one of those episodes that I sort of like, oh, I got to watch this before I can move on. So I actually give it a really low one for me. 4 out of 10 stacked decks.
Mm.
So I am agreeing pretty much with what everyone else is saying. I thought it was pretty boring. I love Barry Bostwick, though. But really, all the points are for him. I thought everything else was just boring and I honestly just like Ruby being there and being like, hey, let's move on. I felt like she was like the audience. Like, let's go. Come on. Enough of this. So I gave this one 4 out of 10 Creatures of the Night, which gives this episode a 4.9, which is not the lowest of the season.
It's pretty low.
But the second lowest. Yeah. The second lowest. After last week's, it is the lowest. So pretty bad. We've had a bad couple.
Yeah. I sure hope something pays out soon. I'm waiting.
There's only so far you can go in a season and have a couple of stinkers and then
not
come back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rest of the season and they're all really good.
Oh, good.
Almost all really good.
Payoff would be good right about now.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, John, what is our homework for next week as we're speaking of all of this?
Next week's homework is Season 4, Episode 13, After School Special. And Yvette has already heard this one.
Oh, okay. All right, I won't even make my guess then.
Oh.
But yeah, I watched this while I was on jury duty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or heard it anyway. I turned my body away, but I could hear the whole thing.
Oh, so you shared with John what some of the details that you heard were?
Yeah.
I see. And he worked out which episode it was.
Yeah, he worked out what I saw. Yeah, what I heard anyway. I tried really hard not to pay attention, but
yeah,
it wasn't a major thing, I don't think, that I caught. So.
Okay, so someone's using steroids, and someone's been touched in an inappropriate manner, and what else is in after school specials? There's someone with a drinking problem for sure.
Definitely.
Someone's pregnant, needs to get an abortion.
Helen Hunt tries to meth.
Dean is pregnant.
Yeah. Helen Hunt's got her meth problem. What else? I don't know.
Oh, so anyways, hey, I'm kind of worn out. I had a long day, overnight.
Night day.
I worked till 2, and then I drove home in the morning after 2, so Darcy got to work on time and everything, but I got some sleep and now I'm gonna need some more. Anyways, sorry for the low energy level if that threw anybody off, but otherwise, everybody have a good time, a good next week. We'll see you next time, and happy hunting.
Yay.
Happy hunting.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
My safe word is more.
That's rough. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's confusing. Yeah. I like it.
It's very sad. It's very sad. You're so in trouble.
Yes, mistress.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is idgitcastpodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan, and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from quadruplez.com. John Pavlich can be heard on Castlecast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle, at castlecast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/sofadogs. Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an intercast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on quadruplez.com.
I'm sorry, Missy, I can't reach Yoda. I tried. You're just going to have to live without Yoda while we do the episode. I know.
I'm
so sorry. Yoda is way under there, and I can't get him. Don't look at me like that. Just stop.
Why do you call
it
Yoda?
But it's Yoda.
Why do you call it Yoda?
Isn't it Yoda?
Well, it's green. It's an egg.
That's Yoda.
It's a green egg.
Isn't it Yoda?
And it says, may the force be with you on it.
That's good enough for me.
Fox, come get Yoda for Missy. I can't reach it. And you got those skinny arms.
And she's freaking out.
She's freaking out.
Super Fox!
My hero!
Can you reach it?
Yoda. Put it somewhere. Oh, there's Yoda is on the back side of the egg. I see. Okay. Put it. Yeah, put it somewhere that she can. Put it in her bed.
So she can't shove it under the couch.
I think I might cut some of that out.
Okay. I know it was a little long. I'm sorry, but it was serious. Desperate.
Oh, it was. Yeah, whining dog in the background the whole time. Otherwise.
Desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the dog?
Yes.
Yes.
We put her in her kennel because she was making too much noise when she was not in the kennel.
But now she's
Must
in the
kill.
Kennel. She's actually trying to open it. She's like, "This is some bull crap, you people."
She's like,
she's got a tin bowl in there. She's gonna rub it against the bars.
jailer.
Okay.
Nobody
I don't know what
knows.
To do with her. She is something else right now.
Yeah, she's not. She normally, for the podcast, she normally sits in shoes
or goes to bed. But tonight, she is not ready for bed.
Maybe there's a full moon out.
Yeah, I think it's close.
What'd you give her? Did you feed her?
Yes.
Dinner?
Yes.
How much?
Well, dinner and then some pizza crust.
Pizza crust.
What? I only fed her bloody raw meat. What?
Okay, what are we going to do with her? We're going to make a decision. Should we throw her out in the backyard?
We could put her back out for a while.
Okay, I'm going to put her back outside.
Okay.
Get the chloroform.
Or should we send her in with Fox?
He says yes.
Okay. Missy, go hang out with Fox. Go see Fox.
What kind of dog is it again?
She's going outside.
She's a some kind of terrier mix.
We don't know. She looks like a mini lab.
She looks kind of like a mini lab.
Oh.
A high energy mini lab, where you do high
it's
energy experiments in a small van.
Something like that. Should be fine outside.
I see what you did. That was cute.
Okay,